Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We really hope that you find it encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, why don't you visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
And last week I started to talk about one of those things that we all love to talk about is called forgiveness. Because there are a number of things. God is totally committed to you knowing how much he loves you, to you experiencing that love, and to you flowing in that every day, flowing in the grace and the love that God has provided for you. That's what he wants. He talks about that in Ephesians 3. But there are things that block how that flows. And we talked about pride. We talked about taking offense. And last week I said that we're going to take a number of weeks to look at the whole area of forgiveness. Now, it's been funny. I haven't had any pensioners swear at me today on the way to church. For those of you who want that story, get last week's recording. But this week, I am actually multi-talented, okay? I'm going to blow my own trumpet here for a minute. And one of the things I'm really good at is DIY. Right. And all the people went, right. So this week, me and Big Vern, who's my dad, have been putting down floors in our house, new wooden floors. And, you know, he's getting on it. He needs a bit of a hand. And I said, look, I'll lend my years of expertise and skill in this matter, which is zero, to the whole thing. Now, here's the point. We started on Wednesday. By Thursday night, I was going to hit my dad in the back of the head with a hammer because I was so frustrated. Because I love faulty tars. Remember faulty tars? Yes, and remember the builder O'Reilly who did the work whenever Sybil went away? And he kind of walked around and went, lick a paint, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, lick a paint as he's drinking tea. Well, that is me. Because I approached the floors as in, throw those boards down, they'll be all right. Okay, just get them down, it'll look great. And like, you can see my dad, like he's stressed out now, even thinking about it. Bless him. Stretch out your hands towards him. So we started to batten, that technical terms and all coming out, batten the floor. But not just put battens on, every single one, every 16 inches had to be packed so that the floor was entirely level. I was losing the will to live, all right? Seriously, I'm thinking, no, let's just fire. Penny's been away all week. She's coming home on Sunday. She's going to kill me if the house looks like this. Let's just get the boards down. If it looks, if we kind of walk on it like that, we'll sort that out later. It's not really that important. But my dad, clever man that he is, uttered these immortal words. He said, son, you've got to build on a good foundation. And I went, you know, I was convicted right there. I put the hammer down. You know what I mean? Stepped away from the power. I'll tell you this. One thing I've discovered this week is nothing says man more than power tools. Oh, my word. Stanley Bostich. Boom. I just felt like I'd arrived. It was raw steak and getting my drill. It was amazing. So we had this moment where my dad said to me, son, you got to build on a good foundation. And essentially, that's what we're talking about. You see, one of the things I said last week about the whole area of forgiveness is the forgiveness is done between you and God. And not many other people will see it. If you come to my house today, you're not going to see the 2 days of pain in battening that floor. But I tell you what, you can't walk on the floor unless it was done right. He's absolutely right. And the fact of the matter is this. This is one of these issues that nobody will really ever see what goes on between you and God in the area of forgiveness. Because it's about you releasing people. And sometimes those people will never know. But I guarantee you this. If we don't do it right, then we will never really build on anything else. It is impossible to build on a foundation that is wrong. And that's why we've got to look at this area of forgiveness, because nobody ever really sees it. But I tell you what, if it's not right, if we're not walking in forgiveness and we're not flowing in the forgiveness that God calls us to, then the floor's going to be all over the place. And sometimes we'll look at the floor and go, why is that like that? And essentially what we're talking about is getting underneath the floorboards here and saying, listen, I'm going to batten my life right. Because if I don't batten my life right, it's going to be a dog's dinner. Does that make sense? Desmond Tutu, I said last week, said this, without forgiveness, there is no future. He was that stark about it. And last week, let me just quickly recap for 2 minutes. I said that forgiveness is a choice that we need to make. It has very little to do with feeling. In fact, nothing. God never says, forgive people if you feel like it. What he says is, make a choice, like I've made a choice to be committed to you. And it doesn't matter whether you feel it or not, be committed to people and forgive them. Choose to walk in forgiveness. I said it's a decision of your heart to release someone from their sin against you. As 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love, when you're committed to someone, you don't keep a record of wrongs against you. I'm going to look at that a wee bit later on. Now, that means that we need to let go of anger. means that we need to let go of the desire to have revenge. And I said that last week, and it's true, like, actually, whenever we forgive someone and we release them, and the words, there's 75 word pictures used in the Bible about forgiveness, but essentially it's like letting them walk out that back door scot-free. And whenever you do that, what actually happens is you're giving that person an act of mercy, and everything inside of you will say, but they don't deserve it. And I said, of course they don't deserve it. The whole nature of forgiveness is this. People don't deserve it. Just like you didn't deserve to be forgiven by God, he did it for you. And in the same way, Matthew 18 says that you've received forgiveness. When you think about what you're like and how much God's forgiven you, then that releases you to forgive other people. And you let them walk off scot-free. And everything inside of us goes, no, you can't. That can't happen. But that's mercy, folks. The gift of forgiveness is given to the other person, but the act remains between you and God mostly. Sometimes that person will never know the business that you have done with God. They might never know. But you know that you've forgiven whenever that doesn't bother you. God knows, and that's all that matters. The end result is a changed life and changed actions and feelings and thoughts towards the people that you've released. Folks, this is not easy. I said that this week I would explain a little bit about my own story over this last year, 18 months. And I'm going to do that. And everything that I've said, I'm going to say this morning, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to have in your head always talking about him, okay, or her, or that situation. Because in the last 18 months, we have dealt with a lot of people. And this has been a real journey for Penny and I personally. But here's the thing. I have definitely learned much more than I ever have done over these last year, 18 months, in how to walk in forgiveness with people. And I tell you what, it has been one of the most freeing times of my life. One of the most difficult, one of the most trying, but essentially one of the most freeing. And I want to promise you this. If you will engage with the Lord in this area, okay, you will see changes in your life that you never thought were possible. I'm going to guarantee you, that's a money-back guarantee. Come and see me in 6 months if it doesn't work, all right? But that's what it's like. Now, the first thing I want to say this morning is this. You need a change of perspective. And how, has anyone ever thought this life would be easy if it wasn't for people? Well, about four people have. Let me, come on, let's be easy. See if I didn't have to deal with people. Have you said that even this week? Flip me, wouldn't it be easy? It'd be like a wee bubble, wouldn't it? It'd be all great. Don't have to deal with anyone's stuff, and life would be really simple. You know what, folks? We're kidding ourselves. What we need is a change of perspective for the situations that we come against. Romans 12 puts it this way. You have to renew your mind. You have to have a change of thinking about the way that you see situations and circumstances, because oftentimes in life, the situations and circumstances are not going to change. People are still going to wind you up. But here's the thing that I learned this year. I had to be a man who took a different view of the situation that I was in. I had to have a change of perspective. Matthew 5:43 puts it this way. You have heard that it was said, you'll love your neighbour and you'll hate your enemy. This is Jesus speaking, right? But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, flippin' Nora. You've heard that it was said. You remember I said about last week about the bits of the Bible that I read and I understand are the bits that are the hardest? You love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You see, most forgiveness that we have to deal with is because of accidental stuff, isn't it? When you kind of have friends and relationships and people, what will happen is they will wind you up, they will hurt you, they will annoy you, they will upset you. And most of the time, there is no hurt or malice intended. Isn't that right? It's just life. You know, that's it. None of us are perfect. None of us have got it all together. So in as much as people wind us up, folks, you know what? You're probably winding other people up this week. And here's the thing. It might not be your heart. It might not be what you intend, but that's just life. But that's not what Jesus is talking about, okay? Those are hard things sometimes to deal with. But Jesus is going a whole step further. And he's saying this. Whenever you forgive people, you have to forgive people who are, he describes, as your enemy. He's talking about the standard of forgiveness that he is aspiring us to walk to. It's not just about your friends who kind of rub you up the wrong way, but he's saying, actually, what I'm talking about is a level a whole lot deeper. And it's a really important point. He says this, whenever you forgive anyone, whenever you feel anger of any kind, you need to forgive them. And you need to even forgive people who are trying to kill you. And let me tell you what enemies are like. All right? In fact, some of the people that I've had to work hard with, okay, this year, I wouldn't have described as enemies. I wouldn't have described them as people who were out to get me. You know, sometimes you have to forgive people who let you down because you expected more of them. You expected them to stand with you when the rubber hit the road, but they turned their back and they distanced themselves. That can be really hard and hurtful at times. And even when you feel that kind of anger, that kind of upset, Jesus says forgive them. But he's still not taught, that's still not an enemy. Those are people who just have their stuff to deal with. An enemy is someone who are not just there to wind you up, but they're actively opposed to you and they attempt to destroy you. That's what an enemy is like. And Jesus is saying this, if you can forgive those people and release those people, my goodness, it's a springboard into a whole different level of supernatural life. He said it's not just your friends who wind you up, but actually, I want you to be people who get to the stage where even if there's someone who's trying to bring you down, destroy your reputation, you can forgive them. Now, I've had that this year. I've understood what it's like to have people who not just don't like me, but have actually tried to destroy me. And it's not fun. So whenever I read these words of Jesus, I go, do you know what? I've said this between me and God. You're having a laugh. Okay? Respectfully, Lord, you're having a laugh, because I can read that and I can think that's fine. But see, whenever somebody's trying to literally destroy me and my family and my son, I can't live with that. And God has said to me, Andrew, listen, hold on a wee minute. I'm going to take you a step further. I'm going to explain what these people are doing, but I'm going to explain, if you will only change your perspective, you will see an enemy, not as someone who's going to destroy your life, but actually someone who will catapult you in to more supernatural walk with me. And I started to go, God, what are you talking about? How does that work? And I started to change this year about how I saw people, how I saw what they were doing, and how I saw circumstances. And do you know what it did? It totally freed me. It brought me to a place, instead of me wanting to kill them and get even and meet hate with hate, it actually brought me to a place where I'm like, God, do you know what? If I will change my perspective and see that these people are in my life and they're doing this, but if I handle it right and I love them like you've commanded me to, do you know what? I will take off. I will take off into a whole different level of life that I've never thought would have been possible. Let me tell you what an enemy does. It's a person who wants to harm you. It's a person who says something about you so that they call your credibility and your integrity into question. They rejoice when you have a hard time, and when you're not that successful, they kind of laugh at you. They pray that God won't prosper you, that God won't bless you, but in fact, they really hope in their hearts that God will bring you down and show the world that they were right all along. I actually think that enemies hate you, but because most of them are Christians, they'll never actually use that word, because as Christians, we don't hate. Is that too strong? Oftentimes, people will take advantage of you. Whenever Jesus uses the word persecute in the Greek, it means to follow and to pursue. Not like a stalker, okay? If you have, you know, like you open your curtains and there's somebody, hello, okay? If you have that kind of pursuer, phone the police, all right? That's just what I recommend. But that's not what Jesus is talking about in terms of stalking, or pursuing rather. He's saying that someone who can't let you go, whenever they hear your name, whenever they hear about you, they want to crush you and destroy you, your credibility and your reputation. That's what Jesus is talking about here. If you're likely to stay in the picture, the main tactic of your enemy is to discredit you. They'll tell people what they think needs to be told about you in order to get the job done. They'll go out of their way to stop you from succeeding. And actually, quite a lot of people think that they're doing God's work. That's the crazy thing about it. People like this will never kill you with the sword, but they'll do it with their tongue and their pen. Now, why am I saying this? Well, I've understood this year, that whenever that comes against you, it may seem like it's totally impossible. How would you ever deal with people who are doing that to you? Because everything that seems to be natural inside of you wants to rise up and go, absolutely no way, I'm going to get back. And how dare you say this? And how, you know, they're telling lies. And everything this year in me wanted to stand up and go, this is the truth. As much as I know it, this is what's true. And God said to me this, Andrew, change your perspective. They're not the enemy. You're not battling with flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers. And I'm telling you to love them. And I've put my love inside of you. And if you'll only operate and release in the love that I've put in you, you will see them differently. And I started to go, Lord, well, what does that mean? How do I love my enemies? And here's the thing. Jesus said to me, and I'm just being very honest. He said, Andrew, this is probably the greatest challenge that will face most Christian people. It's how do you love someone who's trying to bring you down? You see, we probably think that raising the dead or seeing revival and all of that stuff, that's a massive challenge. I actually believe that Jesus threw out one of the greatest challenges whenever he said, love somebody who's trying to do you in. That is not natural in any sense. And the word that he uses was agape. Go back to week 3 or 4 in the series, and we did a whole thing on agape. Jesus said this. This is going to be way more difficult, and this is why you can never act on your feelings. But when I say to love your enemy, what I mean is choose to be selfless and be committed to their good. And everything inside of me this year went, I can't do that. I want to overwhelm them. I want to match them. And God said to me, no, you'll overcome whenever you love them. Whenever you commit yourself in your heart and your mind to their very best, you will succeed. And God said to me, you know what, Andrew, you've got a choice to make. This is not going to be natural. There will be days where you'll be ripping your hair out. But God said this, choose to release people. Choose to let them go. Choose to release them and don't hold on to a thing that they have done. That's the change in perspective that God asked me to do this week, this year, this 18 months. I read very widely. And one of the great theological things that I fall back on is the movie Evan Almighty. And there's a great point. That's a joke, by the way. And it's a great movie, but it's not that theological. So here's the point. There's a point in Evan Almighty where he's kneeling beside the bed and he's going, God, I want to be more loving or something. Isn't that right? I want to be more loving. And his wife, who obviously is a believer and knows Jesus, says, you know what, Evan? I hope it's Evan Almighty. I'm nearly sure it is. Whenever you pray for God, you want to be more loving. Does God drop love into your heart, she says to him? Or does he put you in a circumstance and a situation where you can learn to show and grow in love? Does that make sense? Do we stand and we go, God, I want to be more loving. And God says, right, okay, well, I can drop it into your heart. Or maybe I'll create the circumstances whereby you can learn to operate in what I've already put under the inside of you. Evan Almighty, unbelievable, okay? God can speak through anything. You see, I changed my view over this last 18 months. And I saw this, that if I would change my perspective, I would see that I had a fantastic opportunity. I would either let people's hurt kill me, or I could use it as a springboard into greater things with the Lord. And that's what I decided this year. I thought, you know what, Lord? I'm going to change my view. Genesis 50:20 in the story of Joseph, there's a great verse and it says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for my good. And I want to tell you this morning, if you will see people who have hurt you, who have offended you, who have come against you, and you might not have people who have been actively trying to get you out of the way. I actually had someone who said to me 6 months ago, why don't you just move to a different country? It would be far much easier for us. Honestly, and I'm kind of going, yeah, cheers. You know, if you'll pay for me, I'm away. Do you know, that's a joke. And but here's the point. If you will see your enemy as a springboard into more of God, then your life and how you see people will be very, very different. Do you want more of the supernatural in your life? No? Yes. I do. I really am. I'm hungry to see God moving that way. And I think this is one of the most supernatural things that we will ever do. Moving from hate and discord and choosing to genuinely release and love our enemies is one of the most supernatural things that I believe any Christian will do. It's that important. It's so counter to everything that sometimes goes on the inside of us. But here's the point. A bit like the battens under my floor. Unless we make that decision to go, do you know what? I'm going to release you. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you off the hook. Then I don't believe that we will ever walk in the fullness and the power and the anointing that God has for us. Because you can't do that and hold on to unforgiveness. And that's the thing that I saw. I got actually a wee bit selfish about this. And I went, you know what, God? I don't want them to rob me of what you have for me. Because that's what's going to happen. God was calling me to account for how I was dealing with it and not what they were doing. And God said to me, Andrew, release them. Let them go. And as you release them, you're releasing yourself. Isn't that incredible? Release them and let them go. And as you do that, you're releasing yourself. The more you set them free, the more you're going to be free. The more you want to bless them, the more you're going to see the blessing of my Holy Spirit in your life. Don't hold on to unforgiveness. Don't hold on to anger, because release them and you're releasing yourself, actually. God said to me, Andrew, as I've let you go, as I've let your sin go, as I've covered it, then do the same for those people. And that, for me, was starting to move in a supernatural way that I'd never done before, because it was so counter to everything that was going on inside of me. Folks, this is not easy. This is really not easy. But when Nelson Mandela was speaking to Bill Clinton about his time when he was locked up for all those years, and Bill Clinton said, Nelson, or Mr. Mandela, I don't know what he said, but here he said, how did you get through 27 odd years of captivity and get through it? And Mandela said this. He said, if you hate, you give them your heart and your mind. Don't give those two things away. And that's what God said, Andrew. If you stay in anger and frustration and hurt, what's going to happen is you're going to give those people your heart and your mind. Don't give those things away. It can seem pretty selfish, can't it? But actually, that's part of this. It's called enlightened self-interest, actually. Forgiveness is simultaneously selfish and unselfish. It's selfish in as much as I thought, I don't want to be angry, bitter, and miss out on what God has for me. I don't want that. I want everything that God has for me. And I'm not going to harbor anything that's going to hold that back. And at the same time, it's unselfish because you commit to letting people go so that they might not ever be punished or people will know what they did to you. Wow. But here's the thing, folks. If you're holding anything in your heart this morning, I want to tell you this. Inasmuch as you decide and you choose to release that person, that situation, that is, I believe, directly proportional to how much you will be released yourself. Jesus has some really strong words about if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, what happens? And I want to encourage you. God said to me, change your perspective. Instead of seeing people who come against you as the enemy, see them as an opportunity to operate in a new level of grace and love and mercy. And the more that you do that, the more you will see God in your life. But don't stand and go, God, bless, move, all that kind of stuff. If you're holding anger and unforgiveness in your heart, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But I want to encourage you, you can be free. Despite the fact that I've had people who wanted me to move to another country, all right? And I want to get, that's pretty cool. And, you know, you let your mind wander, you know, and you go, Cape Town, Australia, just joking, somewhere warm and sunny. But what I found was, even in those moments, I could decide, and it's unbelievable, when you decide to forgive and you go, do you know what? I'm going to release you. I'm going to let you go. The flow of love and the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's incredible. It's really incredible. And I want to encourage you, you can do it. It doesn't matter how big your situation is. It doesn't matter what anybody has done to you. The devil will try to keep you in a victim mentality of there, per you. And Jesus says to you this morning, do you know what? I've put it all on the inside of you. You are free indeed. Whenever the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. He has already put everything that you need right in your heart and in your spirit. Isn't that incredible? So there's nobody has anything on you this morning. Whatever you might think, there is nobody has anything that they can hold you with. If you make a decision to love them, to be committed to them, and to release them, as you do that, boof, you're going to walk in forgiveness. That's how it's worked for me. So you might decide this morning, yeah, I hear that, but I'm going to choose not to forgive. I want to tell you this morning, there are people who are sitting here this morning holding on to stuff, and actively you're choosing to hold on. Because there's a hurt there and there's a pain there, and you're deciding, do you know what? I'm going to hang on to this. Because we sometimes get to a stage where it's like the thought of living without that can be worse actually than dealing with sometimes the pain that's inside. And some people, just hard-headedness, cold-hearted, whatever way you want to put it, will say, do you know what? I'm going to choose not to walk in this forgiveness. And I want to tell you this morning that it doesn't matter one jot to God in terms of how much he loves you. He's totally and utterly committed to your good. He's totally and utterly, and he loves you independent of yourself. Despite your failings, and despite the fact that you might hold on to unforgiveness in your heart, I want to tell you that God loves you, all right? He really loves you. He's shown his love and his commitment to you. Psalm 103, verse 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, well, look, how do I do this? I don't know whether I'm ready or I want to or whatever. I want to tell you this, that God's got time for you. Okay? He's already removed everything that would hold you back from him. And he's got time for you this morning. He loves you. He's committed to you. And he wants you to walk in the freedom and in the life that he has for you. But here's this. He's not going to bend the rules for you. And as much as that he loves you, he will not bend the rules for you. I want to tell you that you're totally covered by grace, you're totally covered by mercy, and in that place, in God's grace and mercy, you've got to make a choice, because God will not bend the rules. If you decide to live in anger, and you decide to live in that and not to release it and let it go, what you're going to do is you're going to develop what the Bible calls a root of bitterness. You're going to become bitter. Now, God tells us time and time again, choose life. But I tell you this, if you choose not to walk in forgiveness, you're opening yourself up to the most destructive thing that I believe, other than pride actually, the second most destructive thing in life, and that's bitterness. All right? I had a very funny moment yesterday with my mum, who's a straight talker, and I said to her, have you ever met anyone that's bitter? Right? And she went, uh-huh. And I said, well, generally when I'm done talking something, I'll, last few days of the week, we'll process it with anyone who comes near me. What do you think about this? Just because I'm going through it in my head. And my mouth's just really funny. I said, have you ever met anyone better? And she went, why? I said, well, what are they like? And she said to me, they've got a bake on them like you. I went, really? She went, ah. I went, thanks. Do you know what else? It just made me laugh anyway. Bake on them like you. So if you want to see bitter, this is obviously it. But have you ever met someone who's truly bitter? I've met a lot of people this year who are truly and utterly what the Bible would describe as bitter. And it is incredibly destructive. And that's why God says, choose not to let this grow in your life, because it will destroy you from the inside out. Don't let it happen. Choose to release, choose to forgive, choose to show grace. Remember, to forgive means to be gracious, not just to go, I forgive you, but to lavish grace the way that God has poured grace on you. We talked about that last week. You see, because bitterness, when it gets hold of somebody, will totally and utterly destroy them and the people around them. I have met some very bitter people this year, and I came away from those meetings thinking, oh God, save me from that. Save me from that kind of pride and self-righteousness and anger that leads to bitterness. And whenever the Bible says, you know, bitterness is like a root, in Hebrews 12:15, it says, if any root of bitterness springs up in your life, it causes trouble and many people become defiled, the Word of God says. It defiles people. It ruins their life. We've got to root out bitterness. God says, choose not to be bitter. You see, bitterness is a hard attitude of intense anger and animosity. Let me just tell you what I'm talking about. It's often accompanied by cynicism and resentment. You know, that person may have been wrong, but rather than dealing with the anger that they felt or the emotion that they felt, they tend to sit on it and dwell on it. And then anger starts to build. But what also builds, and this is the thing about bitterness, which is so destructive, not only does anger build, but there's a determination or sometimes an obsession of getting even or even striking back at that person. A bitter person holds grudges. They're generally quite sarcastic, and they often have very critical attitudes. They're nearly always self-righteous. And very often you will see in a bitter person's life conflicts with lots of people. Lots of people. That's what Hebrews 12:15 says. A bitter person defiles many. A bitter person, you know, would start around an empty house, could I put it that way? Very hard to get on with. Very difficult. And here's the thing about bitterness. If you let a root of bitterness into your life, it will destroy you emotionally and, I believe, destroy you physically. Your body and your mind will not function effectively if you're a bitter person. That's the truth, folks. That's why God says, you know what? Release them. Let them go. Well, how do you know if you're bitter? Where does it come from? Bitterness starts with anger. It's a natural response sometimes to frustration or to upset or injustice. And sometimes, here's the funny thing, that anger can be caused by circumstances that are either real or sometimes they're just imagined in your head. They can be intentional on somebody else's part or they can just be accidental. But whenever you're angry and you bottle up your feelings, you refuse to forgive, you're unwilling to let go, and you ponder then ways of how you can get back at this person, that's what the Bible describes as you start to get bitter. And the Bible warns, says, don't let that happen. Bitter people are very often hostile. They're inclined to make very unkind remarks about others. They're aggressive. And I actually believe they're downright dangerous. I'm going to be that strong. They often talk about how they've been mistreated and maligned. And now that might be an attempt to justify anger or get sympathy. Or it might just be an attempt to find allies. But here's the thing. In short, bitterness will destroy you. And it's a strong word this morning, but here's the point. Jesus says, love your enemies. And he wasn't some kind of namby-pamby, love your enemies and we'll all be better. He was saying, if you don't love your enemies, the other side of it is awful. You are going to destroy yourself. Actually, when Jesus says, love your enemies, it's not a command to go, love your enemies, and oh. He's saying, if you don't do it, you're going to let bitterness grow in your life, and then you're finished. How will you ever flow in my love? How will you ever see my power? How will you ever see my full anointing that you so long for if you hold on to anger and bitterness? He's saying, love your enemies, because if you release them, you're going to release yourself. Isn't that incredible? He says, don't let yourself get bitter, because when you're bitter and there's a root of that in your life, it's so, so hard to overcome it. It's so, so hard to dig it out. If anyone ever tried to dig a root out of your garden, all right, the word root in the Greek in Hebrews 12:15 is something that goes way deep and way wide. It's not a surface thing that you can pull out and go, there, I dealt with that. Whenever you sit on anger and you sit on hurt and you sit in frustration, what will happen is you will destroy you and the people around you. And Jesus says, love your enemies. Let them go. Set them free. Send them out that door with nothing owing. And if you will do that, you will release yourself. You will walk in freedom and fullness of life. If you choose to forgive, that's what's going to happen. If you say, well, actually, God, I don't want bitterness. I don't want to be like that. But at the same time, for goodness sake, how can I let these people go? I felt this so many times this year, folks. There's so many times this year I've wanted to book a half-page ad in the telly, full colour, big bold writing, and go, this is what they did. This is the lies that they told. This is what they've done. This is how they manipulated and twisted. And I've wanted the world to see that so I can say, I told you so. I told you so. And God said to me, do you know what? Let them go. And the world will never know. But if you will release them and do business between you and me, you'll be free, Andrew. Change your perspective and be free. Don't let bitterness into your life because it will kill you. And here's the thing. See, when somebody hurts you, life goes on for them, doesn't it? Have you ever thought, they really knocked me off and they don't even know? And you sit and you dwell on it. You have imaginary conversations. Anyone? I see that hand slip to your knees. Have you ever found yourself driving along? Oh, I've done this a few times. Then I have to pretend that I'm on my mobile because I look like a psycho. All right? Like, as the person pulls up beside you, you're freaking, come on! You know? And you're like, I'm actually on the phone. You know, I'm not actually just having this imaginary conversation. All right? Whenever you do that and you let people into your heart and your mind, as Nelson Mandela put it, you rob yourself of peace. You rob yourself of time. You rob yourself oftentimes of sleep. Ever gone to bed at night thinking with your head turning in your head? Isn't that right? Imaginary conversations that destroy you. I'd say this to them. I'd say that to them. Philippians 4:8 tells us something different. Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Think about those things. How do you do that? How does that actually work? You can only do that when you've made a choice to release someone. Here's what I think has happened for me. I said last week, is forgiveness an event or a process? A process. I had an Indian last night and my mouth is like a carpet. Do you know what I mean? So, release them and you'll be released. This is the way it worked for me. When I made it, is forgiveness an event or a process? It's both. You make a decision at one point in your life to go, I'm releasing you. And then what happens is every day you walk that out. Chinese proverb said a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. What that proverb doesn't say is that the journey gets any shorter. It's a journey of 1,000 miles, but you make a step every day towards your 1,000 miles. What I found this year is this, that whenever I have had people who pop up into my head and things that they said and things that they did and nobody knows about it, what I've found is this. I've had to go, God, I release them. I actually speak it out and I say, do you know what, God? They owe me nothing. There is no debt outstanding. I release them in the name of Jesus. And then I pray a blessing over them. I bless their families. I bless their ministries if they have one. I bless their life. I pray for God. And what I find there is that's a decision that releases a flow of grace and a flow of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's what happens. So it's both. It's an event and a process. Whenever you choose to forgive like that, you will find life and peace and joy and an emotional stability that you will never find any other way. Has anyone ever found whenever you're really upset with someone that affects you physically? Not in your stomach. When you see it, maybe it's someone and you just see their face and all of a sudden your heart starts to beat and you feel that kind of knot in your stomach. That doesn't happen when you've forgiven someone. It affects your body. I'm going to talk about this in a series when I'm doing the new year about rest. Actually, about how you walk in forgiveness and love and grace, and it affects your health. It affects your very physical health. If you are unforgiving, you're much more likely to have many more medical conditions going on, emotionally and physically. Romans 8:6 puts it this way. If you're carnally minded, if you dwell on how people have hurt you, and you refuse to let go, if you think about those things, it's death. But when you're spiritually minded, you release people, you decide agape commitment to let them go, and you walk that out every day, what's the result in your life? Life and peace. That's a choice. When you think about how much God loves you, when you think about how much he's done for you, when you think about how much you have got away with in terms of what God has done, man, it sets you free to love other people. So let me encourage you this morning. I have walked out 18 months. Penny and I both. But I am testimony to the grace and to the love and to the mercy of God in my life. But it started whenever I, after a number of months, had to change my perspective. I had to make it different. I had to look at things differently and go, do you know what? God, this might be coming into my life, but I'm going to choose to release people, to set them free, and to be released myself. Now, that has not always been easy. But I want to tell you this. I don't believe that this morning that I have a root of bitterness in my life. I believe God's been good and I've been spared from that. But that was a choice that I had to make. And I want to encourage you this morning. There are probably, in fact, I know there's people here this morning. And God's sent you this morning, release people and let them go. You're wondering why life is hard and you're not flowing in grace. So you don't have to be flowing grace for something. It's really easy. There's an ease to life whenever you're flowing in grace and love and mercy. And that's what we're talking about. Understand how much he loves you. Understand what he's done for you. Let that flow in you and through you. And if that's not happening, examine your heart this morning, okay? We're going to take 5 minutes. And I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to sit and just close your eyes. Because unless you're superhuman, what's happening, probably happened this morning is this. That as I've been talking, there's probably people or situations or circumstances. And you're thinking, God, I don't know whether I can let that go. Or God, that's too hard to let that go. Because you, like, do you know what they did? And I think the Holy Spirit said to you this morning, yes, I do know what they did. But make a choice this morning to release them. If even only out of self-interest, let's have the event now. And you'll start to flow in grace and love and mercy. Release them, even in your heart. Now, for me, what I found was I had to speak it out. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to do that here this morning. But whenever you get home, or maybe you take some time, listen, take time with God. If there's people who have popped into your mind this morning, or things, or do some business with God, okay? Do some business with God. Don't go, I know I need to look at that. This will stop the flow of God in your life. And what I felt was, God, many, many times, in fact, I'm going to tell you folks, every day over the last 18 months, I have found myself in a position of saying, God, person's name, I release you. You have no debt against me. I have nothing against you. I release you and I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I forgive you. And every day for 18 months, I've been doing that.